This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. When you think of Denton, you may think of its universities, its art and music scene, or its breweries. But back before any of the bustling bars peddling craft beers, there was a vibrant scene in bootlegging hooch. Sean Treat is a former UNT assistant professor and has given several lectures about hooch. Sean Treat, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Most people, when they think of prohibition, banning liquor, it's being this one large national effort in the 20s and the early 30s. But before that, prohibition kind of happened off and on in Denton through local votes.
That's right.
How did that work?
Well, here's the thing is that in frontier areas, and heck, even in the cities here in Texas during settlement, you had a lot of individuals thrown together, and some of them were teetotalers, you know, good Baptists, good religious people, but you also had bootleggers. You had people that made liquor, and I mean, there's a long history of it, and so it's always been kind of a source of contention.
Now, how involved was Denton in the production and distribution of illicit liquor, like moonshine? Was it just some residents, or was it more organized?
A lot of residents. I mean, that's the thing, is when you take into account that we have a lot of immigrants from, like, Germany and places like that, where you have a history of families brewing liquor, it totally makes sense that, of course, these family recipes would be passed down. And these areas literally, you know, kind of grew up. In Aubrey specifically, they said at night, you could look down across the Texas prairie, and instead of flickering fireflies, you could see more bootleg liquor fires going than stars.
So as Denton and the county started in the 1800s, booze obviously was big back then. Yeah, take me back to 1857. When saloons started opening up. What was it like during Denton's so-called booze boom?
Yeah, whenever the city of Denton was established, it's kind of amazing because, you know, now you go there, and of course we have craft beer houses on every corner, but there were actually more saloons than there were any other type of business combined. So, because you would have... of course, obviously, if you had a place that was a house, like the Lacey House, for example, that was the hotels at the time, they would oftentimes have... spirits for their guests to be able to relax. Also, what most people don't really think about is barbershops. A lot of barbershops and meat markets, because they had steady water supplies, were also good places to be able to catch a drink. So during this boom time, that one of my favorite stories to tell is that there was a woman, her nickname was Miss Angeline, was running a saloon, and she was upset with what she thought was the Yankee conspiracy to drive out liquor in Texas. And so during one of the dry periods, she was actually forbidden from selling any liquor. So what she did was she actually sold a peanut for 10 cents. And with that 10 cent peanut, you got a free shot of whiskey.
Creative ways to get around.
A little bit of a workaround.
I'm guessing that people who made the moonshine during Prohibition probably had some creative ways to distribute it.
Oh, yeah. The creativity in doing that. Some of them were, you know, straight up bootleggers where they would get in their cars and drive them back and forth. Others, it would actually go up and down on the train. Sometimes they would sneak it inside of cargoes. No, they were very creative in ways that they were able to sneak it around.
What kind of role do you think all of this, Denton's history with hooch, have on the town's current craft boom?
Well, I think it creates a culture where it's more welcome than most places. I mean, certainly Denton has embraced not just the new craft beer scene, but this has led to a craft liquor scene. I mean, we now have distilleries popping up, and it's kind of exciting because a lot of them are interested in bringing me to give talks, because one of the number one questions I get from them are any of these old recipes left? Because Prohibition just almost virtually destroyed any of these handed down old world recipes that had been in circulation, like, literally for generations.
Were there any that survived?
Sure, there are some that survived, and there's some great books in the library. And I write for a local arts and culture blog. We Didn't Do It. And so oftentimes I detail a lot of this secret history and some of these moonshine recipes as one of the upcoming articles we're talking about publishing.
Sean Treat is a former UNT assistant professor. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin. Had a good time.